text tonight. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. And immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, one of the practices in my home when we get up in the morning to have coffee is it seems like our TV is automatically on Fox News. And one thing that I've noticed a lot lately is that there's opinion polls for everything. They have opinion polls for this. They have opinion polls for that. They even have opinion polls on opinion polls. That's right. And I got to thinking about that. You don't have to talk to men and women long these days to find out what their opinion of God is. Their opinion of God, and I find that most, their opinion of God is all wrong. If your opinion of God is wrong, friends, then your religion, your beliefs, your salvation be no profit to your soul. Salvation is according to the Scriptures. A man recently told me that he and the man upstairs, they had a mutual understanding that they had a good thing going on. And just from those comments and that statement, it was obvious to me that he didn't understand anything about the God of this Bible. Many have the opinion that God is begging and pleading sinners to let Him save them. If you think that, then your opinion of God is wrong. And it's contrary to the Bible. Many think that God has made salvation possible. And it's up to you to decide if you will accept it or reject it by something that you possess called a free will. If you think that way, dear friends, then your opinion of God is wrong. Your opinion of Christ, your opinion of yourself is wrong and it's contrary to the Scriptures. And it's sad but very true that the majority of people in this world have the wrong opinion of God Almighty, the wrong opinion of Christ, and the wrong opinion of themselves. Their opinions of God are way too low. How does the Holy Scriptures reveal God? What do the Scriptures say concerning the Creator of the universe? And I will add this very quickly, that those whose opinion of God is wrong, have you not read the Bible? Have you not read the Bible? Have you not read from the inspired pages of Scriptures who God is and what we are? Well, I know this, you'll never see it unless God gives you eyes to see it. Now, our opinion of the president, our opinion of the government, our opinion of the economy, or anything else, they're personal opinions that have no consequence to your soul. But your opinion of God, it's a matter of eternal life and death. Your opinion of who He is, what He did, what you are, will either lead you to life everlasting or eternal damnation. If your opinion is that God needs for you to do anything, then you've got the wrong opinion of God. If your opinion is that Christ died for everyone in the world, your opinion of God is wrong. If you think that God has left salvation up to a decision that you make, to your will, your works of righteousness, your opinion of God is wrong. I could read you scripture after scripture that proves these opinions wrong, but tonight I'll only use these two verses. And I'm convinced the way that they read that it would be impossible for me to even mess them up. You remember years ago, I don't see them so much anymore, but there was a bumper sticker and it said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But that's wrong. That's having a wrong opinion of God, isn't it? Friends, God said it, that settles it.
Amen.
It don't matter if I believe it or not.
Amen.
This book you hold in your hand tonight asks the most important question ever asked, mortal man. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? If your opinion of God is wrong, in order to be reconciled, in order to be saved, in order to find that redemption Brother Darvin talked about, you're going to have to repent. And that word repent, as you well know, means to change one's mind. To change one's mind. You're going to have to change your mind about who God is. You're going to have to change your mind about who and what you are. You're going to have to change your mind about how God saves sinners. Sinners must repent. God doesn't repent. Men preach a God today that repents. It's not God that needs to repent, it's us. It's to change your mind about your course of life. Now let's look at verse 15. I have just a few points. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. In this single verse, the divine work of salvation is laid out plainly. God's salvation, dear friends, always, always begins with God. It always begins with God's will, God's pleasure. If you hear a message that gives recognition, honor, credit to man in the least, it's not a gospel message. The foundation of salvation never, ever begins with the will of man. Never. Never. Salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. I was reading earlier today and I read across Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. You don't have to turn there, but just reiterated it to me in a special way. It said, when He, Christ, had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Paul wrote in Romans 9:15 what God said to Moses. You know what God said to Moses? He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Does that sound like a God that's trying, wanting, pleading to do something? That sounds like a sovereign God to me. One who works all things after the counsel of His own people.
Amen.
The apostle concludes in the very next verse, and he says, so that it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Friends, if we're ever to receive mercy, it's going to have to be from God and from Him alone. Mr. Spurgeon once said, salvation doesn't begin with man's obedience and then proceeds onward to the purpose of God. It's backwards. The first cause of salvation is, and this is my first point, it pleased God. That's plain. It pleased God. This is the foundation of all divine grace. The Apostle Paul wrote these words by the inspiration of God. And he was saved and called to be a preacher himself only because it pleased God. You can see that in verse 1. Look at it. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. And notice verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me. That's how God saves His people. It's by the will and purpose of God. It pleased God. Now I'll tell you what. The Apostle Paul was first to say that of himself. I tell you, it wasn't by his merit. He would have been quick to tell you that. Why, he hated God and the people of God. Well, he held the coat of those that stoned the beloved Stephen. He persecuted the church with great passion. It was against the disciples of Christ that Acts chapter 9, verse 1 says he breathed threatenings and slaughter. I thought about that, Brother Darvin, and I find it interesting that it says he breathed out threatenings and slaughter. Why, it comes by us so natural, doesn't it? By nature, we breathe threatenings and slaughter against God. And we say in our hearts, we will not have this man rule over us. Sin is so much of what we are that we breathe it in and out. Job 15:16 says, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. Now, I don't know about you, but on a hot day, and if I'm out and I'm doing anything strenuous, which my wife would tell you that's probably not the case, but if I am, there's nothing that quenches my thirst more than a cool glass of water. And yet, the scriptures say, we drink iniquity like cool water. You want to see something about yourself? There it is. Well, my second point is still found right here in verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, who separated me, next to the sovereign will and good pleasure of God, dear friends, comes the act of separation. Commonly known in the Bible by the name of election. Our text tells us that this occurred and took place in our mother's womb, but actually, it took place before the foundation of the world. Before we were born. Before we could have done anything whatsoever. Now you think about this, to win or to merit God's favor. He chose us in Christ. What a God. What a God. What a God of mercy. Now some men will tell you, well now, brother, you know God looked ahead in time and he saw who's going to be good and who wasn't. And he chose them based upon, that's salvation by works. That's against everything this book teaches. Tell you what, let's just take a minute here to turn to Romans 9. And boy, you know right where I'm going. I know you do. Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being what? Not yet born. Neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to what? Election might stand. Not of works. It's not of works. But of him they call it. And it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Oh, there's those that will say, how could God hate Esau? But God's people says, how could he love Jacob? When we see what we are by the grace of God. Oh, friends, our text in Galatians 1 is clear about this thing of election. God separated us from the earliest part and time of our being. Yes, even before the foundation of the world. Before he spoke this world into existence, he had chosen and separated his people and given them to Christ. Before God said, let there be light, there was a Savior, amen, a Lamb slain for the foundation of the world, to redeem a remnant according to what? The election of grace. Long before God piled the mountains up, long before the oceans were ever formed. In God's eternal purpose, He set His people apart for Himself. For Himself. Oh, I tell you, there's many that hate the doctrine of election. I love it. I love it. The beauty that the elect sinner sees in God's election, His foreknowledge, His predestination, His predetermining us to be what? Conformed to the image of Christ. I think in our text next, we see the calling of God. In this divine separation by God comes the effectual calling of God to the sinner. What does it say? It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and what? Called me by His grace. I sadly say that what most people call grace is these days is no grace at all. And I believe that it's needful to distinguish between what God calls grace and what most religionists call grace. We call it sovereign grace. We call it free grace. But when you really think about that, there is no grace that's not sovereign. Is there? There is no grace that's not free. If it's not free, then it can't be grace. And it becomes works. We need to understand that the calling also does not cause the election. The election springs forth from the divine purpose of God Almighty. And that's what causes the calling. Oh, Paul has them right in line here. It pleased God to show mercy and grace. He separated me, as only God can do, and He called me by His grace. Well, why did He call you by grace, preacher? Well, it's right there in verse 16. To reveal His Son in me. That's why. To reveal His Son in me. Christ is revealed in me. If it doesn't please God to elect me and call me by His free and sovereign grace, then friends, Christ will never be revealed to me. See, not only is Christ revealed to me, but He's also revealed or formed in me, the Scripture says, and conformed to the image of Christ. For whom He did foreknow, Romans 8 tells us, He did also predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those who put man's will first, they don't know what they say. It's most assuredly not the will of man. God did foreknow, God did predetermine us, His people, to be conformed to the image of the Son. And you can be assured of this, dear child of God, that the salvation of any soul is a display of the eternal purpose and sovereign will of God. Well, what is the gospel? Well, we know it to be good news. Well, who's it good news to? Good news to sinners. Are you a sinner? If you are, this is mighty good news, isn't it? Those that are well have no need of a physician. Those that are sick. Are you sick? Are you sick? Are you a sinner? Then this is good news. You know what this good news is? Well, there again, right in verse 16, it's there for all to see, that God gives eyes to see. Paul says, to reveal His Son in me that I might preach what? Him. Him. Isn't that what we preach? There's nothing else worthy of speaking of. We I say all the time, and I probably copy this from Don or someone else, this is a hymn book, H-I-M. It's all about him. Every page of scripture God gives us eyes to see is him. Some of those Old Testament studies you're doing, man, I see him. I see him. And I've also come to see that the same message of Christ and him crucified, the same message converts and it comforts. We don't have to preach a message for sinners and a different message for believers. The same message converts and it comforts. It converts the lost and it comforts the redeemed. And the same message, Christ and him crucified. The same message of Christ pronounces judgment and it pronounces acquittal. Same message.
Amen.
Paul says simply and plainly here that I might preach him. Him. The message of the gospel is in a person, dear friend. In whom? In whom? That's not my stomach, by the way. Christ, the crucified Lord. It's not to preach, it's not even to preach the doctrines of grace. Did you know that? Are the doctrines of grace a person? No. Now, I know that when you preach Christ, the doctrines of grace are set forth. But I've heard men preach the doctrines of grace and never once said anything about the redemption that's in Christ. Preached him. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you. Just one thing. Jesus Christ and him crucified. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Well, let me just close with these words. In election, dear friends, we see, believers see, only by the sovereign grace of God in Christ, we see the salvation of the Lord. That's our message. Salvation is of the Lord. If he elected me before the foundation of the world, what did I have to do with it? Salvation's of the Lord. In his predestination, in his foreknowledge, we see the salvation's of the Lord. In his effectual calling, we see that salvation is of the Lord. In justification, redemption, salvation's of the Lord. In substitution, salvation's of the Lord. In preservation, what did Christ say? My Father is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. That's God's doing. He's greater than all. I can't even jump out of his sovereignty. And I would if I could. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel. Prone to leave the God I love. Why, even in total depravity, we see our inability, and we know the salvation is of the Lord. No man can come. Doesn't have the ability. No man can. Well, Paul's said a lot in these two verses. And he says at the end of verse 16, he said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I guess there's been so many times I've read over that and never gave it much thought. But what that means is just this. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. That word confer means consult. This wasn't by any consultation with man, was it? No, this is by divine revelation of God Almighty. That's what it means, confer, consult. And I think of that day when our Lord Jesus walked along with his apostles and he asked a general question. He said, who do men say that I am? And they began one right after another. Well, one said that you're Elijah, another says you're Elijah. Some even say you're John the Baptist. And then he asked this question. And his brother Don, it was a personal question. He said, who do you say that I am?
I ask you tonight, who do you say that he is?
Well, if God give us grace, we'll answer just as Peter did. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did our Lord say to him? He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. No, flesh and blood didn't reveal it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, Brother Darwin, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. Oh, that I might preach him among the heathen. And immediately I did confer with flesh and blood. If you've been taught these things, you've been taught and learned of the Father. But friends, if you're saved tonight, it's God's doing. It pleased him to be so. That's why our message is nothing other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is. I reiterate, who is salvation. Trust in him. Trust in him. Thank you.